Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise God. Are you excited? Are you expectant? If you are, give the Lord a shout. Somebody shout glory. Praise God. You know, I tell people, when they are shouting in the word, it's an emotional expression. But when we are shouting in the kingdom, it's a weapon. For Jericho to go down, we shout. And so when we shout in the church, we are not just excited, we are fighting. He said, him that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sincerely honored. Again, I want to celebrate our Father in the house, God's servant, Pastor Allen, for his doggedness in serving the Lord and for the heart he has for the kingdom. He's truly an elder in the body, and I see him and revere him greatly as a father. And so today it's an honor to be here to share the word of the Lord. Thank you so much, sir, for having me. Praise God. I want to honor all the ministers of God that are here, apostles, bishops. Thank you so much for taking out time. I know some persons drove in, some flew in. God's servant came in from Italy, and you know, so many people traveled in. Thank you so much for showing so much love, commitment to what God is doing globally, and for paying the price to be part of it. God bless you richly. Thank you so much, sirs. Truly honor you from the depths of my heart. Thank you so much. And for everyone here with expectation tonight, the Lord will visit you in a unique way. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you fill us afresh, open us up to the realms of the Spirit, grant us access to depths of realities, and help us to steward such realities even as we colonize our world for the kingdom, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Especially, can we celebrate Evangelist John and Evangelist Darren? Thank you so much. Amazing testimony. Such a firebrand. Wow. So much communicated in just 10 minutes. And today, 3 minutes. I mean, such an amazing personality. Thank you so much. God bless you. Praise God. Can you lift your hands toward heaven and surrender to the Lord? Tell him something from your heart. Whisper your expectation. Talk to Jesus. Don't be conventional now. Just talk to him. Tell him how much you love him. Show your gratitude to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We know you will exceed our expectations, and your name will be glorified. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Please be seated for a moment. I want to teach briefly tonight. Yesterday we began, and at some point it became difficult to literally share the word. And so, it's almost 8 p.m. Maybe I'll teach for 40 minutes. And then for 20 minutes, we'll gain some ascension. Praise God. Just tap for me. In the next 5 minutes, I just want to do a recap of some of the things I shared yesterday to give us some perspective. And then we go a bit deeper in expounding the strategies of God for the last day. This is an apostolic convergence. It's not an evangelical meeting. In an evangelical meeting, the goal is so winning. But in an apostolic convergence, the goal is so establishment. And so we go a bit deeper in explaining the strategies of the Spirit and the burdens in the heart of God, because we believe everyone present is coming because he wants to be equipped. In Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, it said, to some he gave to be apostles, to some he gave to be prophets, to some he gave to be evangelists, to some he gave to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So this is an equipping conference, and I want to believe that when we are done from here, many will leave here and become massive soul winners. Many will be set on fire and they will become gatekeepers, interceding and betting purposes that are eternal in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so last night we began from the book of Genesis, and it was expedient for me to expound and explain two concepts that define the betting of a civilization. And the reason it is so is because the purposes of God find expression in a civilization. When a civilization is favorable, the kingdom of God advances fluidly. When a civilization is corrosive, the kingdom of God and the operation of God's spirit is stunted. And when the purposes of God are delayed, it is men that suffer. The reason is because he is called the Ancient of Days. He dwells in the realm superior to time. And so he never loses in the bargain. It is the generation that fails to advance his kingdom that fails. You know, before the coming of Jesus, between Jesus' appearance and Malachi, was over 400 years. Four generations was lost. And he didn't take anything from God, because his name is God. He is self-sufficient. But that generation that was a dark age missed out on the fulfillment of God's agenda. And so when a generation fails to rise, that generation is truncated from the commonwealth of Israel and the purposes of God that is ascribed unto that generation. However, for us to make the most of what God is doing, it's important for us to understand the operation of the wisdom of the princes that govern territories and govern civilizations. And so I went to the foundation of reality in the book of Genesis, and I told us there are two concepts upon which every civilization rests on. The first is the concept of creation, and the second is the concept of formation. If you study the book of Genesis, you will find that when the world was created and when man was created, these concepts were in display. First, affecting the cosmos, and second, affecting the man that was created. If you take the man, for example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God created him, he said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." And he said, "In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he made them." And so the word used in that scripture is the word bara. It means to create out of nothing. So there was no raw material with which man was created. Man came from the breath of God. And if you want to look at it classically, it means man was a mystery. And I will explain that to you very quickly. When God created other beings, I don't have time. So man came from within God. But the man that was created could not participate in the agenda of God, because nothing was said about that man until God showed up in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Bible said God formed the man from the dust of the ground. It is the man that was formed that began to carry out God's agenda. The man that was created was dormant. It was the man formed that participated in God's agenda. The moment that man was formed, we saw that the man began to name the animals. And every name the man gave the animal, the Bible said that was the name there was. So the name God would have named that animal, he suspended that protocol and allowed the man that was formed to name the animals. And when the man looks at the lion and say lion, and you check the archive of heaven before time, what God wrote was lion. When God created the woman and the woman showed up, he looked at her and said, "You shall be called woman, because you were taken out of the side of the man." And he said, "You shall be the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh." Meanwhile, when God created the woman, he was sleeping. But there was something working within the man that made it possible for the man to quickly begin to participate with God in the agenda of the divine. And so when God creates, God also forms. And it is in the formative dimension that eternal purposes are born. When you look at the earth, for example, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And suddenly he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God showed up and he said, "Let there be light." And so God recreated the universe. But the universe God created, nothing could happen there. The universe was in desolation. Until in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 28, God said, "Have dominion." And so at this point, the earth that was desolate had to be reformed. And so the tree was not just there because God wanted fruits to be produced. Because buried in the tree is the ability to create a building. Buried in the tree is the ability to create a chair. Buried in the tree is the ability to form many things out of it. That means the value and the potential of creation can only be actualized when forming begin to take place. The same way the man that was created had no value until he was formed. That is how creation will remain dormant until creation begins to go through formation. And the job of formation, God decided to hand it to man in a pattern, and he called it the authority and dominion. And so the man was responsible to give shape to the world and design anything he wants to make out of the world. But because God had tested the man already and seen that everything the man did was in perfect alignment with what he had in mind, he was persuaded that when the man is done with the earth will become a reflection of heaven. That is why I told you, if man was the only prince responsible for formation on the earth realm, probably you won't have a plane. Because there are no planes in heaven. In heaven, when you want to travel, you go by the speed of the wind. And so every one of us would have been traveling by the wind. If the man was the one responsible for formation, probably you wouldn't need a car. Because when you want to travel, angels don't travel. Their civilization is older than us, but they live from the realms eternity. And so when they travel, everything is a vehicle in the realm of the angelic. An angel can see, you know, the Bible said God moves upon the clouds because the cloud can become a vehicle of transportation. Because the dimension of wisdom the man would have tapped into would have been the wisdom operating at the frequency of Abba. The man would have functioned like Elohim himself. In fact, in the realm of that man, you may not have needed antibiotics. Because when your body is sick, all you need to do is to talk to your body. Because your words are medicine. Your words are not just for communication. Your words have curative power. And so when you talk to your body, it will be stronger than any medicine that is created in the lab. But unfortunately, something happened. Instead of the man to continue with the project of creation, another prince strode into the garden. Because every prince can create. Every prince can form. The only thing is that only man among the princes was given authority for formation. Because there were many princes before the man came. But only the man was given the authority. And so every prince needed to pass through the man to bring their own intelligence into the world system. But they didn't have that authorization from the realm of God. Only man. So man was a spectacle in the creation that existed before the fall. And when the princes saw that this man had the permission to change the earth to become anything, and they knew that the earth that the man will form will be identical with heaven, and if it is identical with heaven, they will not have a part in that world, they came to beguile him, and they wanted him to go the path of rebellion. And the prince came to him in the similitude of a serpent, and he said, did God really say? So for the first time, the man wanted to question the intelligence of God. Did God really say? And the man didn't know that what the prince was looking for was to create a world that is different from what God had in mind. Because the man is the only one with the authority for that level of power and authority in the realm of God. And the man didn't know and handed over his authority to the prince. The moment he handed over his authority to the prince introduced another intelligence. Another wisdom came into the universe. And the things that were created thereafter was no longer consistent with what God had in mind. When you study the book of Genesis chapter 4, you will now discover that a new order of formation began. And so when Cain ran from the presence of God, he went to a city called Nod, and there he began another kind of civilization. That was where new forms of systems were introduced into the world. The world the man would have created would have been an identical of heaven. Because when God started formation, he planted a garden in the east side of Eden. That garden was a door from heaven to earth. So when God came to earth, he didn't open any door. He just appeared in the garden. The Bible said the voice of God came walking in the garden because the earth realm became an extension of heaven. The earth realm became like a portal that connected heaven to earth. But when the prince took over, he brought another intelligence that was different from the intelligence that God had in mind. And so the sons of Cain began to produce things like musical instruments. The Bible said Tubal-Cain, one of the descendants of Cain, produced the musical instrument. Meanwhile, in heaven, your instrument is wired into you. Because when you need a sound, the sound is wired into you. The reason is because sound is not designed to make you dance. Everything in heaven is designed to provoke intimacy. And so when you are playing the sound in heaven, there is a networking that happens between you and God so that you become one with him. But you see, when the dark princes created the musical instrument, they created something else that gave you pleasure apart from God. And so now you can listen to music and you listen to music into fornication. Now you can listen to music and listen to music into suicide. How many of you have entered a jazz club before? When they start playing the jazz band, there's an energy that is piped into that place. And when that energy comes, violence can break out. And so people drink all kinds of drinks, stab themselves, and they kill people. The reason is because music is not for entertainment primarily. Music is actually a vehicle of transporting spirit. And so when you start playing a particular sound, the spirit that inspires it begins to ride on that music. After a while, you hear people listen to music and they begin to fornicate. You hear people listen to music and they become violent and they don't know why. The reason is because there was another intelligence coming into the earth realm. You see, the reason you have systems is because systems are worlds created within the world that God created. But you see, it's a bit complex now, being that when the princes began to create, there was another intervention. Because when Cain went out of God's presence, the Bible said Adam gave birth to another son, and his name was called Seth. And Seth gave birth to another, and his name was called Enosh. And he said, from the days of Enosh, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so from that day, what God wanted to achieve is that because demonic princes have begun to corrupt the world with another system, my sons too, we have to match up shoulder to shoulder by creating a system within that system also, so that within it we can colonize the systems they have colonized. And so when two persons go into government, one of them can be an ambassador of a demonic system. But when you go into government, you are not going there for salary. You are going there as an agent of colonization, because two systems are working in the system that God has created. One representative of darkness and another one representative of light. Because if the system of light does not colonize, a time will come when this system becomes too big, they will turn churches to museums. And then you are wondering, why are all the big churches becoming theater? The reason is because another system is taking over. The moment I came into my hotel room, I knelt down to bless the name of the Lord, and I was caught up in a vision. And the first thing I saw was, I saw something that looked like a council, and all the men sitting making laws were wearing hijabs. And I said, what is going on? And quickly the Holy Ghost told me, he said, the sons of the bondwoman are taking over. Meanwhile, Christians are not aware that systems are at war. A new world is about to be created. And when that world is created, it will be an abomination to call the name of Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus, you can be arrested. When you preach what is written in the Bible, they will call you intolerant, and they will arrest you and jail you. Not because you did anything wrong, but a system that was bettered by demonic intelligence, which is hostile to the advancement of God's kingdom, has appeared. And so the reason we call for an awakening is because new functionaries must rise. New functionaries with different kinds of intelligence. Because this system has already been judged. There's no future in it. I can tell you this. I began sharing with them yesterday, and I showed them from Mark chapter 4 verse 19. When Jesus looked at the systems of the world, he said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That means the system that the devil has created, if you are advancing in this system, you will pay with your soul. Myself and Apostle Allen were driving somewhere to eat, and the brother that took us, Apostle Allen, started a conversation with him, and he said he has not been in church for some time now. Why? He said he's busy trying to make some money. Because what that system will bring into your soul are the cares of this world. What that system will bring into your soul is the deceitfulness of riches. What that system brings into your soul are lust, different kinds of lust. And a point will come, you will discover that God becomes alien to you. And you will not know when, because you started with a legitimate pursuit. But what you are not aware of is that you came into a corridor where princes are trading the souls of men. And over time, you may discover that you will become powerful in that system, but your soul is gone. You will try to pray, and you will discover heaven is far. You will seek the face of God, and you will discover his face is hidden. And you are wondering, what has gone wrong? Compromises were made while you were climbing the ladder. But until you realize you are an ambassador to that system, you will not know you went there to colonize it. You will think you went there to survive. We are not sent to survive. Sons, don't wonder. We move in search of inheritance. Because when we show up, we are finding the heritage of God, and we want to defend it. The reason is because there is a demonic system in the world. There is an evil system in the world. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible calls it an evil age. It said this age is an evil age. When I started preaching and started talking to campus students. And most times, you come during the matriculation, they enter the campus with a lot of potentials, fired up to build their minds and change their worlds. Young engineers, engineering students, young medical students, come back 2 years later, you will find out that a medical student has become a Rastafarian. And you are wondering what went wrong. A medical student has become a chain smoker. A medical student suddenly have become a fornicator. And even the books he brought to school, he can no longer read them. Because when you enter a corridor, there are demons there trading the souls of men. All of this began from Genesis. When Adam gave powers to the devil began to create a system within the system. Because that was the order God introduced. In a season where God wants to fulfill his purpose, the first thing that must happen is what we call the Great Awakening. In the Great Awakening, the scales in the eyes of men fall off. And something happens. They begin another journey. In the Great Awakening, what God does is that he changes the priorities of men. It changes the ambitions of men. And these men begin to journey in search of the true light that was before the foundation of the world. They no longer draw their bearing from what is predominant in their territory. They begin to find out what is it that God wants. And when you enter the season of the Great Awakening, there is a protocol. It's a fourfold protocol. I started sharing with my brothers earlier today. And I told them, when an awakening is about to begin, what a generation will need to see is the image of the Christ. Jesus will be painted. When Paul entered Galatia, he said, before whom Christ was evidently crucified. So if Christ is not revealed to a generation, if prosperity is revealed to a generation, that generation will sink. Because that generation will spiral into self-preservation. This is why today, when you talk tithing, it's about becoming richer. It's about kicking out the devourer. Today, if you talk giving, it's about receiving. You no longer find the men like men of old that sold their lands, put the money at the apostles' feet, and they are not asking for anything. They just want the gospel to go to the ends of the world. Those kinds of people are no more. Because it's all about bargaining now. And the end is that souls of men are lost. When an awakening begins, Christ is revealed to a generation. And when a generation sees Christ, they will know that for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. This kind of gospel is what defines a generation that is ready to bear the mantle that can bring about a revival, a mantle that can push back the hands of darkness. If the devil can find something in you for bargain, then you are still a victim. When Jesus started, he said, the prince of this world cometh to me. He findeth nothing. The reason is because he was dead to himself and is alive to Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God that gave himself for me. If a generation don't see Jesus, they will pursue money. If a generation don't see Jesus, they will pursue survivor. If a generation don't see Jesus, they will pursue fame and influence at the expense of their soul. If an awakening must begin, Christ must be revealed to a generation again. And when Christ is revealed to a generation, that becomes all that defines the essence of that generation. You are in the West. You should have heard stories. You should have read stories how this civilization was born in the first place. When I read about the Moravian brothers, they were willing to sell themselves as slaves in order to step into France and trigger an awakening. Today, when a pastor enters a city, check on him 2 years later, he is now selling food products. Jesus is gone. And then you wonder, what happened? He's looking for pounds. Pounds have replaced Jesus. A generation needs to see the Christ again and see him so clearly that if anything will substitute Jesus, they will leave that in. And they are willing to die for the kingdom. That kind of gospel is what we are looking for if we provoke an awakening. And when you receive Jesus, something begins to happen on your inside. The first thing that happens is called the joy of salvation. Because what will happen is that you stop living from outside in. You start living from inside out. So even if you don't have what to eat, you are still satisfied. Because your fulfillment is not in things. Your fulfillment is in Christ. And when you know this, you will not lack. Because he said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. The problem is that Jesus was not revealed to us. Jesus was not revealed to a generation. Things were revealed. And when we share testimonies, you hardly hear testimonies of transformation. You hardly hear testimonies of men who are growing in the spirit. You hardly hear testimony of soul winning. What we call testimony are physical things and mundane things. Things that the world can give. This is why when we get into the system, we are lost. This is why when we get into the system, our soul is bargained. But a generation will rise again that we embrace Christ and Him alone. When you find Christ, the first thing that happens is that a joy, a fountain springs forth on your inside. He said there's a river that flows from the throne of God. He said the tributaries of that river, he maketh glad the cities of God. David in the Old Testament knew this. But there are many believers today in this current dispensation who are still not aware. In Psalm 51 verse 12, when David was weeping, God, you can take the throne. I am there only to steward your agenda. There's nothing to me more than that. If it's not about advancing your kingdom, what am I sitting on a throne for? You can take the throne, but take not the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. That is to tell you, the priority of David was not to sit on a throne. The priority of David was to find intimacy with God. And he said, as the deer panted after the waters, he says, so my soul longeth after thee. Many have not tasted of the joy of salvation. When you find that joy becomes a life force on your inside. And so whether you are bound or you are base, it counts for nothing. At all time, you are standing for Jesus. At all time, Jesus is your utterance. At all times, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God, because there is a river on your inside. This is why Jesus said, unto them that believe, he said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. That river is a joy that nothing can take away from you. Remember, joy is not happiness. Happiness is provoked by things, but joy is born out of intimacy. The more you know God, the more that river overwhelms you. The more you know God, the more that river takes over you. Like Ezekiel, at some point, it will be at your ankle. At your point, it will be at your knee. At some point, it will be at your waist. But a time will come when it will drown you. It will drown you. And so when you go to work, you come with that joy. That joy begins to affect everybody. They may come with a strategy, but when you smile at them, a spirit travels out of you and contacts them. And after a while, you begin to spread that joy. And the violence die. The ambition die. The hatred die. And after a while, that joy takes over. And when that joy takes over, Jesus now rides on it like a king. Jesus, he appears like a king, like a monarch, because nothing moves you anymore. You become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. But let me tell you, when the devil can still manipulate your emotion, it means you are not yet ready to bear the burdens of a generation. This is why in the West today, I told them yesterday, every holiday, people must go for vacation. Because they cannot manage themselves. They have not found that joy that is joy indeed. But Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even if I'm under the pit, there is something on my inside that nothing can take away from me. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. While he was there, he was prophesying. Because his joy is not defined by a palace. His joy is an economy within. And that river can swallow up a generation. That river can take over a city. That river can bring down the government of darkness. And when that joy is sustained, after a while, that joy changes. It becomes hunger for God. You will now discover that what makes you happy is not a holiday. What makes you happy is not a travel. What makes you happy is not what you possess. You discover what makes you happy is a person. And every day of your life, you look unto the hill from whence cometh your help. My help cometh from the Lord. He said they looked unto him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. After a while, that joy becomes a pulling. And morning and night, you lift up your hands and you say, Father, here I am. Make orakata.
system called Babylon. Israel was arrested and taken to captivity. And when Daniel entered Babylon, they circumcised them. They became eunuchs. That means there is no hope for procreation. That means the name of Daniel will end in Babylon. But they found something. They found something. And the Bible said, three times, morning, afternoon, and evening, he opened his window facing Jerusalem. And there he lifted his hands unto the Lord. The king came and said, in this nation, nobody will worship the name of the Lord. Not Daniel, not Shadrach, not Meshach, not Abednego. They told them, they will cast you into the fire. I didn't come to Babylon to succeed. I am an ambassador of another kingdom. I am a functionary from another realm. I didn't come here to survive. I didn't come here for bread and wine. I came here to establish a dominion. Mata Kabaros, where are the kingdom men? Malokayada. You, the kingdom of darkness is not a joke. They are vicious. When the king called them, it was not an empty threat. He said, make the fire seven times hotter. Make it seven times hotter. And God was not going to show up. They tied them up. God didn't show up. And they didn't change their confession. They carried them to the fire. God didn't show up. And they didn't change their confession. If you are not there for God, you will change your mind. If you are not there for God, you will change your mind. They carried them to a fire seven times hotter. They didn't change their confession. And they threw them into the fire. But while they were in the fire, the majesty of God appeared. And it was the king that saw it first. He said, who is the fourth man? Did we not help that sister under the anointing? Did we not throw three men into the fire? Who is the fourth man? And the king recognized him. He said, he's like the son of the living God. They will not know your God except as you become dogged, passionate, enough not to compromise, enough not to bend, enough not to change your confession. Go through the fire, brothers, you will not be born. Go through the waters, you will not be drowned. There's an invisible finger that manipulates men. The hunger for the presence. You can take everything from me, not my hunger. If he has a deer panted after the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. Ilakoa tea tea tea. Maruate, Ebola Gabana Zuza, the Carlos, Raco Baladuate, Susanaya, Tapora Gatagaski. Warriors may appear in the United Kingdom. Men that don't know how to bow to status quo. Men that can stand in the fire and give glory to God. In Acts 16:25, they arrested Paul and Barnabas and Silas. They flogged them. They didn't change their mind. They cast them into the prison. The Bible said at midnight, they said they lifted their voice and they prayed and they sang and the foundation. Listen, the way we take over systems is when our hunger for God becomes stronger than any other thing that system has to offer. If you are still in pursuit of pounds, you are not yet ready. If you are still in pursuit of position, you are not yet ready. Because when that position is given to you, you will compromise. But when you die to those positions, God himself will send you there. Because at that point, you have become an ambassador of the kingdom. This is when nations will bow at the cross of Jesus. Where are those who are hungry for God? You run! Ancient Zion's King, Kadosh,
Kadosh, you are mighty.
my God, I just saw a light move here now. There are certain men about to be ordained. There's a move of the Spirit. There's an awakening in this region. And somebody came with hunger. You didn't come for a message. You came for hunger. Help him. I saw a fire. Now, wherever they are, Natakapara, Regadoate, Nagadia, Tanashka, and Takabaro, come alive in the Spirit. Belate, Avarakano, Amzeza, Sazash. We are the sons of order in the United Kingdom. I came to call you forth, the sons of Issachar. Where are you? In the name of Jesus, come forth by the Spirit. Ah! Yabo atete kapate! Adeta la katuna tayata! Your fire has gone down. You found yourself becoming lukewarm. You came with fire, but you've lost it. Now the hand of God comes upon you. There's a stirring. Altars are about to catch fire. Altars, altars. Where are the prophetic intercessors? The gatekeepers, the watchers. The gatekeepers and the watchers. Now, now, take that fire. Take that fire. Maravato ate kayano. My God, men that will not bow to Baal, that cannot be swept off by Mammon, watchers in the spirit, custodians of dimensions entrusted by the monarch himself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you, hear this. Hear this. What's happening to you is an oppression of demons. They've sat on your heart and they've made you lukewarm. They've put a weight on you. They've opened you to other sickness. Now, in the name of Jesus, those demonic oppressions, help them, ushers. Help them, ushers. I cast them out. I break those spells. I break those spells. I break those spells. Allah kapate kapata. Come out! Come out of their bodies! I break those demonic spells, those demonic manipulations. Come out! Maravrato velegamane, Zagaya Tanila Pasca. Thank you, Father. Hear this. When the devil began to tamper with the world, he also tampered with man. He created something within the man called the flesh. The flesh that walketh by lust. But when this hunger begins, the second thing that happens is that God introduces a law into your spirit. It's called the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Because the same way flesh ruled you, another law will rule you. And when that law begins to rule you, you become a slave of Jesus. A slave. Only Jesus powers you. Only the Holy Ghost rules you. The government of God becomes natural to you. You serve the will of God naturally. It's no longer a struggle, because there is an inner law at work on your inside. From hunger, you step into the realm of that law. That law is what makes warriors, and that's what makes sons in this kingdom. It said the earnest expectation of creation It waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God are those who are powered by the law of the spirit of life. Demons are living people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please, all the young men here, put your hands on your head quickly. I can't lay hands on everyone, but I see the number 7 in the spirit. There's an ordination about to begin. There is an ordination. Prophets and apostles. Prophets and apostles. Epa. Prophets and apostles. Wherever they are now, I call you forth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Take that grace now. Help them, ushers. Patakabaros. Help them so they are not injured. Apostles and prophets. The corruption in this territory can't find you. Maleko deato, alegamana saraka, bararadia, dagadagole, andega para kariata tuna. Volae, montakabaros. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please help them. Help them. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus. It's a protocol in the spirit. Some of you, the law of sin and death have substituted the law of the spirit of life. But under this atmosphere, there's a quickening, there's an awakening. That law that helps men to serve God until they break free from the bondage of corruption. That law is set up in your soul now. Wherever you are, lust is replaced with love. Fear is replaced with faith. By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Have been dethroned. Mammon, the prince of commerce that has introduced greed and lust into the hearts of men, and the Leviathan in the belly of the sea that has brought wantonness and immorality, right now we pass judgment. As a corporate presbytery in the spirit, we decree, let the princes fall. You see, I saw Satan fall from heaven. We command the princes fall. We dethrone them in the spirit. We dethrone them. We open the heavens over the United Kingdom. Let revival begin. Let the wind of revival begin. Let the wind of revival begin. Such as was in the days of the Jeffrey brothers, in the days of Smith Wigglesworth, in the days of John Wesley. We provoke those revivals. We call forth those days. We summon those days. We activate those angels. We activate those anointings. We activate those mantles. Paratonash, Balokayata. The stories you heard of men like Jonathan Edwards. Let men rise that we walk in those dimensions. Balo Ragava.
Hallelujah to the Lord. Say hallelujah. Say
of you here, lift your hands, Lord heaven. Such as I have, in the name of Jesus, take those mantles now. Take those graces now. My God, hold your hands together, brothers. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, such as I have.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.